Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are on LA Talk Radio. Tonight you're going to get in the hot seat with the amazing Dr. Pat Allen. But what you don't know is I'm lucky enough to be in the hot seat with Dr. Pat Allen off and on all the time. We just had a wild conversation before we started the show, but we're here with you now. The call-in number is 323-203-0815, and we are live. Dr. Allen, how you doing tonight?
Well, I'm alive. That's the best.
It is the best.
And I've had a wonderful day reading my science magazines.
No, you love those science magazines. They're pretty cool.
I love them. The American Association for the Advancement of Science. That's the name. Yeah. The AAAS.
Well, we've got someone on the line wants to talk to you. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. How are you, Dr. Pat?
Oh, you, Brian, you're on the phone.
Yes, yes, it's always nice to hear your enthusiasm and you're a good partner for sitting in traffic. Yeah, since I'm going down to see my godson play baseball.
Good. What, pray tell, is your question?
Well, before I get to that, last week I told you that, you know, there was a woman that wanted kids. I don't want kids. And we had discussion about it.
And I told you to not make it tight this early.
Not make it tight?
Either or.
What do you mean
right
by that?
Now. So what happened?
So she initially said, well, I want a family, and we were planning to talk again tonight. But I knew that that was really important to her. And she said, you know, I thought about it, and, you know, I like you in a lot of ways, but, you know, my goal is to have a family. So I said, hey, I understand that. I hope you find what you're looking for out there. And if anything changes, you can certainly reach out and talk to me. But I'm not expecting that to happen, which is okay.
All right, that was a very, very nice ending. But she ended it.
Yeah. I essentially did what you said, which is bring up, is this a deal breaker? She didn't say it was a deal breaker
initially, but then
she came back a week later and said so, which is okay. Hey, I took a week to think about how I wanted to say it and running it by you, so that's... So that's good. And when
excellent.
I went to the Fun Singles the other day, there was somebody who said, hey, are you Brian from Pat Allen's show? And I said, yes. Unfortunately, our connection broke up, so I wasn't able to really talk to her. I did see her for a moment and saw that she was close by. So I definitely want to connect with her, but I don't know.
Now
maybe
you've
she's listening.
Got
maybe
international...
She's not.
International support advertisement.
Yeah, well, that's definitely good too. So the question is that I've been considering there is somebody I'm planning to meet soon. She's making plans to come down here, not too far away from me, and so. As far as the telling somebody that you're dating other people, do you only bring that up if they ask? Or is that something that you put out there initially? No,
well,
you don't. Okay.
Let me put it that way. You don't ask people if they're dating unless you've already got a commitment for them not to date. Remember what I teach?
Okay.
I teach women that the sign that a man is interested, that is most gentlemanly, is I see you're still dating other people. And she says, of course, I'm not anybody's girlfriend. And then he gets to say, oh, yeah. And that means he doesn't want her.
Yeah, so in reverse, I haven't met her yet. We've certainly talked on Zoom a bunch of times, and I know I don't need to make a commitment. That's not even going to happen after our first
Are
meeting.
Are you interested
if
in getting her to not
great.
Date other men?
Well, I don't know if she's dating anybody else or not. I don't think she is, but hey, if
I'm looking to meet other people,
she certainly could too.
Are you interested in asking her to stop dating other people?
Right now, I don't know. I think I'll have a better idea of that once I've actually met her and been in person with her, since so far we've only been on Zoom.
You've got to check the chemistry out. You're checking chemistry.
Right, and probably meet even another time, and then probably even meet another time after that, because sometimes the first time meeting can be very different than the second time meeting if things progress. So no, I'm not ready for that.
Don't forget that by the third physical date, which we're now more capable of, your body will tell you if you're physically interested in her, and hers will tell her. So that by the fourth date, physical date, you will have the answer to that question.
I definitely expect that.
Okay. Then you would have the decision as to whether you want to ask her if she will stop dating other people to investigate a relationship with you.
Okay. I've certainly heard you say that before, and I will bring it up if we get that far down the line.
Good. Excellent. Well, congratulations on your international popularity.
Well, yes, I'll be very happy if I connect with that person again, but who knows? We'll see what happens out there.
Good. Excellent. Good luck.
Maybe she's listening.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
Good luck, caller.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. How about
Can
that,
Can you imagine Dr. that? Somebody came up and said, are you from the Pat Allen Show, Brian?
I love it. It's amazing. Okay. So Ronan at the switchboard is he's got us another one. And caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question about a little script that I wrote, and I want to ask if it's a direct or accurate representation of Dr. Pat. So I just want to read it and just see if it has any truth, because in my circle, not really many people know of Dr. Pat. And in my description, I just want to make sure it's clear and true. So can I read it here?
Okay, as long as it doesn't go on too long.
It's very short. It says...
All right. Thank you.
Dr. Allen has spent 42 years to hone her craft by helping men and women learn to express their wants and needs with integrity
and
honesty.
Wait a minute. The number is 50.
Okay, 50. See, and the thing is, I wrote it like maybe a year and a half ago and found it. So I'm going to recheck and make sure it says 50. So it'll say Dr. Allen has spent 50 years to hone her craft by helping men and women learn to express their wants and needs with integrity and honesty, and to recognize and avoid the damaging ploys of intimidation and seduction. It says, call in and see if communicating with Dr. Allen can start you on your road to the goal of committing yourself to a lifestyle of love and authentic communication in all your relationships, in your families and careers, in order to strengthen your relationship skills and enhance your self-esteem and success in life. And I also just wanted to have a contact information for the, you know, people, I guess the readers or whoever may want to call in, and it's info@drpatallen.com, correct?
Kelly, I've got to ask you, some professional direction. She's wanting to write publicity.
Do that inside of the Warrant Institute ourselves for Dr. Allen. And if you have any questions about that, you can direct them to info@drpatallen.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you guys so much. And I just can't wait to hear more of what all you guys have coming.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You bet. All right.
Well, we know what the theme tonight is, the program.
The program is the theme, definitely. And we were talking, of course, earlier today about life scripts. And one of the things that you do is a very special private thing. Hello? Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question, yes. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Here is my question. So about a week and a half ago, a very nice man met me for a date. And since then, he texted me every day, basically every morning, wishing me good morning. We did talk on the phone for an hour last Sunday.
He's courting you. Said,
yes, but I wonder, why is it taking him so long to ask for another date? I know better than to ask him, obviously. I'm a good parallel girl at this point. But
I want you to know you may be being tested for motherhood.
That's what I think he's doing. He's very masculine.
So I would strongly recommend that you let him run the show so that he sees that you don't take his power away from him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because we, like I said, he texted me, and then he always texts me first. I would text him once in a while, too, like 5-to-1 ratio. And then when we talked on the phone last Sunday, we talked for an hour, and I'm always really happy. Like, I make sure that he understands that I'm really happy to hear from him.
Are you doing any damage to your private life, to your schooling, to your work, to your...
Nope.
Are you really comfortable with spending that much time?
Spending that much time on what?
The phone, talking to him.
Oh, yeah, that was fine. It's just 1 hour less on Sunday.
Okay, I'm just saying that if you're not comfortable, you're eventually going to get angry. Because you may want him to mind read.
No, I'm very comfortable. I would
there
rather he asked me like a date.
There
date.
Are three signs with a woman, particularly, who wants to run the show, but the man stays in charge. The first one is evasiveness. You know, why aren't you married? Or what kind of, you know, some question that he asks you that is basically requiring details and you don't want to give them to him. That would be a first sign for him to know that you're a power player. The second one is if he was a real man, he would know what I am just by being with me. That's mind reading.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come that way. Men interview women, not boys, men. Men that want to be respected, want to be the head, want you to respect them so they can cherish you. And when you take charge, you very subtly tell him that you're a guy in a girl's body. And the third thing is abruptness. He asks you, so how did you get along with your brothers and sisters? Fine. Abruptness.
This is very interesting.
Yeah. So men, if they're interested in you, often they interview you for important questions to them.
He did do that on our date.
All right. So how are you doing with him? How many times have you dated him?
Just one time.
Okay. So you know I like you to date him three times. and see if there's any chemistry.
Oh, there is chemistry. That's yes. And I thought I'd lose my mind. The chemistry was off the charts, but there's one very sensitive, and I called last week about this. There's one quite sensitive question that I would like to ask when it's appropriate. And
What's that?
It was he's Catholic. He's quite religious, and I'm not quite religious at all. So you'd advise me to ask him if it would be, if he would be satisfied with me basically respecting him and his religious beliefs and his customs, whatever he has to do, without converting to them.
That would happen after he had asked you to stop dating other men, and you asked him that very, very cogent question.
Oh, that makes it so easy.
There is no reason that a non-committed female would find out how a man would treat a woman that wasn't Catholic.
Correct.
Now, I didn't ask you, do you want to be respected or cherished first?
Cherished.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a recovering male. I'm done. I'm a girl now.
Okay. So your job is basically to answer questions with your feelings. So if he brought it up, what religion are you? You would tell
I'm
him.
I'm not really
religious. I'm spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a deal breaker for you? That follows suit with his question.
Mm-hmm.
You can answer any question that he asks that isn't invasive in your bank account or your body or whatever. You can answer that as a way for you to start building a friendship that every relationship needs to be grounded in. It's like the first cement floor to a relationship, friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, I think so. So for now, just basically, just let him control the situation and just be...
Let him date you his way as long as it isn't immoral, unethical, or illegal.
Okay.
All right, but that question comes up when he interviews you with marital in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What religion are you? You know that.
I was baptized as Russian Orthodox.
But what he's asking you is for information based on interviewing you for candidacy as a wife.
I would say agnostic then, because I'm...
Then feel free to say it, and he can decide what he wants to do with it.
Yes, but you know what's interesting? He already knew that, because that was an important question on the dating app, where you had to have that question answered. It was not non-negotiable question.
Honey, I'm telling you, religion and politics are the two bombs that blow anything up.
That's true.
And I'm glad they have a ceasefire going. Starting today. So did I answer your question or not?
Yes, you did.
Good. We'll talk again.
Excellent. Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Good.
All righty. Here we go. Let me check in with our switchboard and see what's going on. In the meantime, what I was saying is you offer a special appointment for LifeScript. And so, Dr. Allen...
I did one this morning.
It's so interesting to me, and I have had occasion to do it with you several times. And
That's because as we mature, our scripts are either supported or they're undermined because we want to be other than what the people that scripted us, parents, church, culture, we want to be individuals. We want to actualize our individual nature.
Yes, it's very true. And I really almost want to say that when you do a script class with you, it's like you're getting to do a rewrite of your script.
That's exactly what you're doing. And the book that most impacted me before I was really certified as a transactional analyst, which I am, is Toward a Psychology of Being by Abraham Maslow.
Oh, Maslow is amazing. And I know you also talk about Claude Steiner's Scripts People Live.
That's about script development. But the one about becoming individuated and actualized, or mm-hmm. in Jung's words, yin and yang, that book is the one that really made a difference in my life, is Toward a Psychology of Being by Abraham Maslow.
It's excellent. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello, caller, 323, are you there?
Oh, yes, I wasn't sure if that was me. Just one second.
That's you.
Oh, okay. It's you.
Right. Oh, fantastic. One second.
So what is your question?
Okay. I had this week I had a date that was very disappointing to me. So it was
disappointing about it? Did you create it? Was it your date? Are you a man?
No, I'm a girl.
And okay, but do you want to be cherished or respected?
I want to be cherished.
All right. I don't think it's wrong for a woman not to want to be respected. All she's got to remember is she has to have a wife in a man's body, or she has to be a lesbian with a woman that wants to be cherished. See, I do not want to be categorized as I teach all women to be feminine. No, I don't. And I don't teach men to be masculine unless they want to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'm seeing it incorrectly.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm seeing it incorrectly, but we met for coffee. He initiated, and
he asked you out.
He asked me out. It was a little confusing. His profile said Santa Monica, but he lives in Naples, Florida, and he was in town for his daughter's graduation from college. So he was staying at a hotel. Met him there, like 40-minute coffee date. And then he kissed me. It was like in the hotel, it was like 11 a.m. And then he said he'd really like to see me again, but he's only in town for a couple more days. He had dinner with his daughter that night, maybe after dinner. I'm thinking, that sounds so lame. Like, I think it just sounds like a booty call, like meeting after dinner. So I didn't say anything.
A booty call? Did he ask you for intercourse?
No, he asked to get together after dinner. But I don't know, the whole setup, like, he's kissing me in a public place, 11 a.m. We had talked for 30 minutes. And then he's asking to see me after he has dinner with his daughter.
Like, for what reason? Have you ever been raped by a man? Have you been abused by a man?
Yeah.
Because your presumption had no information. I didn't hear anything that was immoral, unethical, or illegal. You projected it onto him because he kissed you and he did this and that. But those things are part of socializing, unless you don't want them, and then you tell him you don't want them.
I do want them. I just don't want it to go fast and be discarded.
Wait a minute. Listen to this. I don't want them to go fast. That's called mother.
Well, what I really don't want is to be discarded.
Wait, is your mother a man or a woman? Does she control your house?
Yeah, she's the man.
And is your father a wuss?
Probably. My mother's, my parents aren't married. My mother was an unwed mother, and I think my father is alcoholic.
When men drink and use drugs, they knock out their intuition, which is they have 21 genes dedicated to the enhancement of their intuition. We women run our lives on our neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine. We run them on our feelings. So I want you to understand that this guy dated you like a date, and he was busy at his daughter, and he was in town and whatever, but I do not hear a rapist.
I don't think he's a rapist. I just think he would. I just felt disposable. Like, I didn't think, you know, I just felt like I could see him and it would be, you know, I would be disposable to him.
Do you know my tools?
I do.
Would you possibly say, you have a right to kiss me, but I'm not comfortable with that level of intimacy at this point? Did you tell him you were uncomfortable with what he was doing?
No, I sometimes get kind of frozen in those situations. Like, I kissed him. Like, I let him kiss me. And then I kind of...
But now you've reported to me that you didn't like it.
I didn't like the direction. I have chemistry with him. Like, it was fine. Like, it just seemed... fast, and then he was asking to see me after dinner, and you know, I was concerned. I was just discardable, disposable.
Okay, I want you to know who molested or abused you.
It was a date rape.
It was a date
rape when I was young.
Yes, how young?
20.
Okay. It was a first date with somebody?
Right.
So did he go farther? Did he touch you sexually?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you understand that you were molested?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Have you had any treatment for that?
I have.
EMDR?
No.
What kind of treatment have you had for being molested?
I guess just talk therapy.
Okay, well, may I recommend a book?
Yes.
Francine Shapiro, who created a wounding treatment called Eye Movement Rapid Desensitization for people that have been traumatized like you.
Okay.
Are you willing to call? Do you have a therapist?
I do.
Okay. Does that therapist ever speak to you about trauma or EMDR?
I don't think so. I have done an EMDR session. Like, there was a time when I was shopping for a therapist, and I did meet someone who did that.
Okay. Would you be willing to go to that person and say that another therapist, I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. I'm a transactional analyst. I'm not specialized in the feeling therapies. So I'm giving you a direction that I think would help you desensitize your premature judgment of a man as that semi-rapist that traumatized you.
Right. I'm willing to do that. But I think that's good advice.
Yes, it is. Like, and if you want to get the idea of what EMDR is, read the book Getting Past Your Past by Francine Shapiro, the lady that 20 years ago created EMDR.
Mm-hmm.
But you see?
I will. I like this very much. And in this situation, aside from the trauma, like I think he was just looking to have a good time. Like, I don't think he was a marriage-minded person. Like, and I mean, it was just a first date, but like, you know, I think he was just looking to hook up.
I want you to know he was on a first date with the woman he was interested in, and you perceived him negatively. That's what I'm picking up.
I would see him again if he called me when he returned, but he was looking for, it felt like he was looking for something convenient right then.
I think that's called a duty date.
Uh-huh.
Do you not believe in duty dating as they occur, like a cup of coffee with somebody you meet in an airport?
Yeah. I mean, I showed up for the date. I know he was just in town for a couple of days. So he, whatever, I said I'd like to see him again when he's back in town. Like, I would like that. And then he walked me to my car. He texted afterwards and he said, "It was really nice to meet you and thank you for coming over. I know it was a little unconventional, but I'm so glad we met." Exclamation point.
That is definitely a gentleman.
Okay. How do I respond to that? But he knows. I have a response.
You've already told him you're not interested.
I don't think he was a rapist. I did think he was a gentleman, but I felt like he was just looking for something
expedient. I'm telling
you,
what you're saying now is a projection of negativity on a human being that sent you a thoughtful note about he knew it was a clumsy date, but he wanted to have it. You wanted a significant date because you were interested in him.
That's true, yes.
And that puts you in the male position of being mad at him for just wanting a duty date.
Well, it looked like he wanted to have sex that night.
Darling, I don't hear that. I hear you thinking that, but I don't hear it. I hear a duty date with a man that was busy.
Okay. So sometimes I'm at a loss for words in those situations. So how could I, because I did like him, and I'm okay with a duty date, it didn't sound, I don't think I should have seen him after dinner with his daughter. Like, that sounds not, he should be with his daughter. Like,
Now you're sounding like his therapist.
How do I sound like a girl, duty date, wannabe girlfriend person?
No, you don't do that. That's him doing it within 3 to 4 dates. That's what I teach. Don't go to bed with men that want sex at the beginning. But he didn't say he wanted sex. He wanted a date with you to get to know you.
Well, we had a coffee date, and it just didn't seem like he had time for another date while he was in town.
Okay, I understand we could talk all night and you would just think of negative things to say about him.
What could I have said differently in the situation, or should I respond to his text?
you would have said with this note, thank you so much for that very, very cherishing note. I understand that we are not compatible for a relationship, but that was a nice date.
And why aren't we compatible?
Because you wanted him to start a relationship and it was the first date. You're mad at him. You're mad at him because he didn't do it your way.
I think it was, he lives in Florida. I think that was the dilemma.
What?
He lives in Florida. I live in California. I think that was
What's
the problem.
What's that got to do with the duty date? We're talking about a date on an evening that may go into another date, but may never go into another. Do you ever date because it's available and you don't have anything better to do?
Well, I did. I met him for coffee. That felt like a duty date. And he said,
but
you know, we could meet after dinner or the next time he's in town. And I said, the next time he's in town would be great.
So what did he say to that?
Like, he was kind of, he didn't make a plan about it, but he doesn't know when he'll be back. But he understood that.
Do you know what?
That seemed okay.
That's what he was saying. You were saying, when you come back, we can have a serious date. He was asking, he was saying, when you want, give me a call. I may be available.
Is there any way I can respond to that text to allow for the option of, like, I would like to see him again. I just,
No, darling. You're already not liking him. He's not doing it the way you want him to mind read.
Well, he's attractive. I like him.
Darling, that's you being the man.
Oh, I was scared he wouldn't call again.
I don't think he will. I think what he said is, I don't think I pleased you. I would appreciate a man as long as you don't have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer.
Was there any way to respond and say, because I would like to see him again. It didn't feel wise to see him after dinner with his daughter.
You know what? I appreciate that, but that's playing therapist.
If I wanted, it would have been a duty date to see him like at like 10 o'clock at night?
Would you be there at 10 o'clock at night?
If he's having dinner and then seeing me afterwards, I think we're talking about 10 o'clock.
Not if you want to go home at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? I don't hear that you told him what you didn't want.
Well,
I'll meet you. We'll have dinner, but I want to be home by 8 o'clock.
He wasn't offering that. He was offering to see me after dinner. He said, you know, could he fit it in before
and
he
you
left
would say,
after dinner.
And you would say, I'm not comfortable with after dinner, especially with your daughter.
Mm-hmm. He was offering after dinner or the next time he was in town. And I said, the next time he's in town sounds great.
Then I've got news for you. You rejected him for the other offer, but you did say for the future, and that one,
I did.
He's got 8 weeks before he's off the scratch board. Mark 8 weeks from that time.
Okay, I'll do that. Should I reply to his text? I didn't reply to it.
Thank you for the kind message, and maybe we'll get together when you're around. That would undo your negative opinion of him.
Okay.
Are you willing to do that?
Yes, I am.
But do not reach out to him at all.
Okay, so I can send that, I can reply with that text and then nothing for 8 weeks.
That's 8 weeks. No, 8 weeks is the last time you were with him.
Okay, that was Monday.
All right, 8 weeks from Monday, he's got to reach back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And if he doesn't, do I do a hi bye or I just don't do anything?
Yes, you can do that if you want, yes.
Okay.
You can write it now.
Yes.
But don't give it to him until 8 weeks are done.
Okay.
All right? And
all
by
right.
the way,
thank you. Yes.
Please read the book, Getting Past Your Past, and see if you can talk to an EMDR therapist about being traumatized by that jerk that molested you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Okay, so what I was saying was you do these great script classes. And so I wanted to give the information, which is reach out via email to set up one. info@drpatallen.com. And I don't know if I've mentioned this lately, so I want to mention it. I want everyone to know that right now at www.drpatallen.com, we have a free video that you can watch, which might help with those little miscommunications. Chemistry, compatibility, and communication. It's one of Dr. Allen's bright line works with communication, and I highly recommend it. So for the time being, Dr. Pat Allen and the One Institute are putting that out for you to watch for free at www.drpatallen.com. And I will remind everybody that the One Eye Store has all kinds of amazing products by Dr. Allen, including her new book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. So that's that.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. So we have some questions from our Facebook people. And they get a little upset when I just ignore them. So I don't want to ignore them. So here's one of the questions, Dr. Allen.
Good.
My husband doesn't understand how I am communicating and negotiating with our 10-year-old son. He feels our son should just obey and do what he's told. I have been following you and reading your works on how to communicate and not emasculate my son. I wanted to go de-emasculating with my son, but my husband doesn't want to negotiate with me. Dr. Allen, do you have advice on that?
Accept, reject, don't tolerate. In other words, my tools. I'm a transactional analyst. Husband, dear, you have a right to parent your son your way. But I have a right to parent my son my way.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to negotiate with him so that I feel comfortable that I'm not dominating him. And as long as you're within the law, please feel free to communicate with him your way.
Now, then that's a question I have, Dr. Allen, regarding this question. So the mother would definitely be in the right place with regard to your work, negotiating with her 10-year-old son, certainly.
Yes.
What is the stance of a father to son at that age? Would it also be negotiation?
No, a father, no. It can be intimidating. It can be do it or else.
Okay.
So his father represents every boss, every cop, everybody with power. Do you understand?
Yes.
Women must negotiate with their sons up to 10 years old so that they can appreciate negotiation with whoever they're relating to.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
a father's, there's a great book, Iron John, by Robert Bly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about boys without fathers.
Okay, great.
Having a father that acts like a mother because she read Pat Allen and thinks negotiating. Fathers can tell kids what to do or else.
Oh, well, this is very interesting because I think that's what the crux of her question was. Should her husband be negotiating with their son? Now, the husband is essentially saying the mother shouldn't be doing that, but the mother's doing exactly right for a mother. And the father
yes.
gets to wield a bigger stick, if you will.
Totally. Totally.
Mm. Mm. So then I just think it's very interesting with respect to that with a boy. Now, let me ask you for
a girl.
So a girl, we talk about a girl at 8 years old. What is the position of the mother to the daughter at 8 years old?
It's woman to woman.
Okay.
It's, okay. Honey, I want to talk to you about your room.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Okay. Is it
okay.
comfortable for you to hear me now or when?
Okay. So the appointment and the subject. And the time.
It's the same tools, but the difference is two women who are feeling good about negotiating their issue.
Now, what's the position of the father in the life of the 8-year-old daughter?
The position of the father with the daughter?
Yeah, so the mother's going to negotiate woman to woman. How does the father? Because we've talked about how the father works for the boy. So how does the father...
The father is a role model for the son. The father
right.
is a representative of God to his daughter.
Mm.
He has got to be the rule setter. He has got to be my way or the highway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's got to ask her how she feels. And what he can do to help she and he feel better.
Right. So that was my dad. My dad was the one that was like, you will do this or you will suffer the consequences. But also when he would get home from work, he would say, you know, how are you feeling?
Yes.
You know,
fathers have to care about their daughter's feelings, and they must care about their son's self-respect. Father is demonstrating what he wants his son to act like when he's a father.
You know, see, I never had the experience. I had no brothers. I had only sisters. So I never saw my father act as a father to a son. So that was always a bit of a mystery for me with respect to that.
Did he do anything with men? Did your father have friends?
My father was an executive boss. He had a lot of employees that were male, and he was very fatherly to them. Like he would... Everybody felt like my dad was their dad. Like the men that worked for my father, they would come in if if their own father had a problem, like one of our employees, their father had a terrible stroke, and my father sent the employee away home to take care of his father. And he said, your paycheck will be in the mail. Don't come back until your father is ready. Your job is here and it'll always be here for you. That's it. But they would come to my dad with problems about
a man
girls.
Dealing with the man.
Yeah. The men in my dad's company would come to my dad like for advice. He was pretty much a mentor in the industry of what he did. So I did see that in my father. I never saw him deal with it.
He was a functioning alpha. His brain told people what to do, and his heart showed it with love.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad, I'm very lucky. I still have my dad, and he's an amazing human being. So I'm very lucky in that respect. But my mom was very different, and she was not a negotiator. She was...
manipulator.
Her Bible was The Games People Play by Eric Byrne, and she used it as a bludgeon.
I am telling you, she was a manipulator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She definitely was.
But that's because, as a woman, was your father right or left-handed?
My father, that's an interesting story. My father was born left-handed, but in the day and age of his, and you'll, of course, recognize this because my father's 78 years old, they said that that was the devil's sign and that he was then forced to write with his right hand. But my father did... everything else with respect, his printing and handwriting was very bad because he was really a naturally left-handed human. But now he shoots and he swings a baseball bat. He can do it either way. So I would say they forced him to be ambidextrous, but originally
by doing that, they forced him into a state of narcissism in which some days he was a man and some days he was a woman. Some days he did good to feel good, and some days he felt good to do good. Einstein, Picasso, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Paul McCartney, Thomas Jefferson, 4 out of 5 of the last presidents and vice presidents are left-handed. They have a larger corpus callosum that conveys the energy between the right lobe, which feels, and the left lobe, which thinks. So I want you to understand, all women can do that.
Right.
But left-handed men, ambidextrous men, they can do it because they have a brain that's designed to think and feel.
Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Allen, which I just now thought of, and I think it's very interesting, is... my sister-in-law is the masculine energy and a lesbian relationship, but I think she is biologically gay, if that makes sense.
Yes, but that is.
I want to
give you the name of a science magazine that just came out, and it's called Making a Male.
Oh, awesome.
And it's...
is that the latest edition?
It's the latest edition. It's 7th of May, 21. And it's got all of... every baby is female, whether it's a boy, XY, or a girl, XX. This article, this magazine, talks about there are people who have had their extra X wiped out. So they are X and Y.
So very interestingly, a female who I believe... just didn't get enough testosterone wash to make it all the way to a boy.
That's exactly right. But it isn't that. You're speaking, but you don't have the science. that girl doesn't have the right MP or MA. Now, you don't know what that is, but you will know what that is when you read it, because that's what knocks out the extra feminine X.
Right. So what about their corpus callosum? My sister-in-law has a hard time thinking and feeling. She's extremely masculine.
Okay, then she didn't make it. She's got a female body, right?
Yes.
But she's not female.
Right.
I have a client who has a granddaughter, brand new granddaughter, who's having seizures within the first month or two of her birth.
Oh, wow.
And her mother is gay.
Mm-hmm.
Married to, literally, legally married to another woman.
Right. Okay.
And I am anxiously waiting to give my friend, who's the father, this information. In fact, I've already said I've got it, so he knows I've got it, that we are all, everybody is both male and female, but the first 8 days before the SRY gene hits the little baby, that's the gene. And it's so amazing because this article talks about the SRY, and I've only read it in scientific books that I'm delving into. The point of what I'm saying is, everybody, you can go to UCLA, they have a lab, and they will evaluate the degree of maleness and femaleness.
Wow, that's amazing.
I understand that, but there's nothing much. Now, this little baby was having,
seizures.
Seizures, yeah, shock. I was saying shock, but I wanted seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, if the baby lives through the adjustment of the nervous system into female, because the baby seems has a vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's minimally male.
Ah, okay.
So the male, remember, the job of the new, of the male, is to dominate one of the X's out of the system.
Right.
That's what this magazine taught me.
Amazing. So we have to wait and see. I hope that you're going to update us on what happens. This is very interesting. And also,
I understand that. But have I answered your question about we're all androgynous, but right-handed men have smaller corpus callosums connecting the two lobes? And if he was forced to write right-handed, it literally rewired his BROCA.
Right. Yeah, I believe that it did. I believe that it did. My dad is very business-minded, yet incredibly creative at the same time.
That's how
he's been so successful in business, was because...
But when men have that gift, and women have that gift, they often become narcissistic and bossy and controlling. So you are lucky that you had a father that cherished your feelings and respected you.
Yes, I was very, very much so. And my dad would, like I said, my mom was a manipulator, but my dad would step in, and he would be like, nah, I don't think she needs to do that. I don't think that's a thing. So he would actually stand up for all three of us girls when my mother was being a tyrant. He would be like, nah,
when your mother was being male.
Oh yeah. And my
now
mother was
going to give you, I'm going to give you something else that may impress you.
Mm-hmm.
The last book that Eric Byrne, who converted Sigmund Freud to transactional analysis, thereby was thrown out of school by Sigmund Freud. So he started a poker group, and it became the International Transactional Analysis Association. Well, interestingly enough, you understand I already said that intuition runs men's brains, and neurotransmitters run women's guts.
Right.
Women have to feel good to do good. Men have to do good to feel good, and they do that intuitively. Now, I'm going to show you in his book that was written early, my doctoral work is Androgynous Semantic Syntax Realignment.
Right.
And here is, I opened my book and underscored the following, and I want to read it to you.
Okay.
It is interesting to note that, in general, women seem to be more aware of and to place more value consciously on the latent communication than men. Now, latent communication is syntax. For example, they are more apt to be aware of being influenced to a greater degree by a man's mood, zeal, or tone of voice than by what he says. Many men prefer to think that they are primarily influenced by the manifest communication, which is words.
Right.
That is Eric Byrne waiting for me to come along with getting to I do.
That's true. Oh my goodness, Dr. Allen, that is amazing.
I'm going to give you the magazine because you're doing a scientific statement here, and that's because you started it.
I did.
In the October 4th, 2019 magazine Science, the magazine is called Language and the Brain. Now, it totally speaks of language, and then it says the following. Now, remember, my doctoral dissertation is Androgynous Semantic Syntax Realignment.
Right.
Listen to what the Science magazine says. The neural basis of combinatory syntax and semantics. That doesn't sound like my doctoral, does it? But it is, because it's the brain dealing with feelings, semantics. Feelings are syntax, and semantics are factual.
Right.
And I'll give you an example. My book in German is called No Man for One Night. Why? Because German doesn't have syntactical language as English does.
Correct.
And so for that reason, here's what it is. Now you be my person, and then we'll go back to doing whatever we're doing.
All right.
Mary baked the beans black. Is that semantics or syntax? Syntax or quality?
That's syntax.
That's right. Mary baked the black beans.
That's semantics.
Do you see how huge that is?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Eric Byrne was talking about, the meaning. Combining semantics and syntax, combining factual data, no man for one night.
Exactly.
Pure semantics.
Yeah.
Getting to I do is pure syntax.
Yes.
Process.
Right.
Or for those that are listening that are Pat Allen, semantics are yang and syntax are yin.
Definitely. That's amazing. I love that. I love that.
Okay. So now, do we have anybody to talk to?
No, I don't know what's going on with our phone lines right now. I'm going to give the number out again, but I don't know what's happening. So 323-203-0815. And if we're having a hang up in the phone lines, so be it. So we're going to go ahead and reach out to our Facebook people one more time. And this is coming in from a longtime listener. And she says, my mother-in-law continuously wants to push me around with respect to my 3-year-old twins. One is a boy, one is a girl. She says that I should be separating them and not letting them play together because it's giving them the wrong idea. I don't even know how to understand what she's saying or how that could be possibly true.
I sense she's, how old are they?
They're 3.
She's sexualizing them.
How do you sexualize a 3-year-old? I mean, they're twins.
That's in her head. She doesn't even want it to start.
Okay. So this person wants to know, how should I table a response to that? Why would I separate my children? They're not sleeping in the same crib. They have their own beds, but they play together during the day. Okay, so
she is now, is the mother-in-law masculine? Yes.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
Okay. And the girl is a daughter-in-law of that mother.
Yes.
Okay. And this girl is masculine or feminine? She wants to know how to parent her children.
Yeah, parent them correctly.
There isn't correctly, there's uniquely.
Okay, terrific.
So,
her bottom line is she doesn't want to harm her children, but she also doesn't want to destroy her marriage by causing a problem with the mother-in-law, is what she's saying.
I understand that. Is the father of the children a woman?
I think he's feminine.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So he's with this girl who has enough masculine to write this note.
Right.
And ask this question. So the answer for
like you say,
what?
Motherhood is masculine. So definitely I see that.
No, having a baby is masculine. It's producing something.
Right.
You see, there are very few men would be willing to give birth to a 9-pound, 7-ounce baby.
Yes.
Because it's not smart. That's a painful thing. You see what
yes.
I mean?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. So a woman, to be a woman, has to let her neurotransmitters tell her if she's comfortable doing what she's doing. when especially a relative like the mother-in-law says you're not doing it right by letting these children. See, the mother is letting the children play because they are not sexually sensitive now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if somebody molests them, especially the girl, she will automatically develop an excessive amount of neurotransmitters for her brain. So girls that have been molested under the age of their first period must get trauma work. And the newest form of that is TMS, transcranial right and left lobe electromagnetic stimulation, which is the newest form of EMDR for the brain.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because something has gone awry in the person, the woman, the mother, the father, in their life when they were little that has impacted their brain.
Right.
And this mother-in-law is telling the daughter, watch out. Letting them play together will ultimately end up sexual.
So in this particular case, would it be the mother-in-law that was possibly molested?
Totally, guaranteed.
Okay.
The mother-in-law has been molested and needs to be treated, but definitely does not earn the right to tell the mother how to let three-year-olds play together.
So she wants to know what tool would she use to talk to the mother-in-law. How would she do that?
She would say, you have the right to your opinion about children playing together, but I have no problem with my son and daughter playing together non-sexually.
Perfect. She's saying, thank you, Dr. Allen. This has weighed heavy on my mind. Okay. All right. Beautiful.
What are you saying to me now?
I said, she said, thank you. She's listening. She won't go on the air.
Oh, I see. The mother is listening. She won't get on the phone, but she's listening.
Yeah, what she's saying to me is she can't get on the air because she could be heard. And
I got it.
The situation
Thank you for doing this.
No worries. Sometimes we just have to make special things for people that are just, you know.
The mother, having been given, when the kids start playing doctor, you know, do an etiquette lecture.
Right.
Not a moral lecture.
Yeah, I'm at 3 years old, you know, I'm thinking of my grandson at 3 years old. He was just, you know, not sexual. I mean, he just was playing, you know, with
babysit with kids. They often molest the kids.
Right. I've heard that. Disturbing. Okay. So EMDR definitely, or TMS for somebody who has had a trauma of that nature.
Yes.
All right. Gay gentleman here, Dr. Allen. I have been in a long-term monogamous relationship and now have evidence that my mate of 15 years has been going out behind my back with other men. I don't have evidence that he's actually had full on intercourse, but he's had emotional intercourse, certainly. I don't want to lose him. How can I talk to him about this situation without being a mother?
By being a wife that got some form, no, he's the man. Having a man that is willing to bring up the subject, which is tremendously sensitive, and that would be, honey, I've got something to talk to you about.
Hello?
Hello?
Well, I'm calling you back, guys. I figured if you don't have many phone calls today, I can call the second time with another question.
What?
Right, yeah, so, we have a live caller, Dr. Allen. Why don't you go ahead and take this? Go ahead, caller.
All right. Hello, caller.
Hello, Dr. Allen. Well, I just called about 20 minutes ago.
Did you say? Voices sound a lot the same. What?
That's true. Yes. A man went on a date with me one time, and then I was he was basically courting me afterwards. But my question, this question is this. Since I have met him, a lot of my, and the chemistry was off the charts, was very awesome, really. But for some strange reason, since then, a lot of my past hurts from my relationship that ended years ago that was very traumatic for me, they've been like resurfacing, and it's kind of disturbing. I haven't thought about it in a long time. And I was wondering, what could this mean?
It's called chemistry. Did you hear me lecture about if a girl before her first period,
yes,
if she is sexually stimulated, she produces neurotransmitters which amplify dopamine, which is very high pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Sex and money really wire the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing is that you were molested at a very sensitive time in your childhood, and you have a brain that has been stimulated into being dopamine craving.
I was never physically molested, but I know what you're talking about. I know how it works. I was once in the room when I was probably 7 with a man who was 18, and he kept asking me to like pull my skirt up, and I didn't know what it was, but I knew
okay.
I was
here. What he was doing, now I'm going to tell you something.
Uh-huh.
When I was certified as a sex therapist, I'm certified in alcoholism and sexual problems, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The man that was teaching us, and his name is not falling on my head right now, Patrick Carnes, it is too. Dr. Patrick Carnes, who is just an extraordinarily good sexual therapist for therapists to go mm-hmm. to. Anyway, he said the following. Some 10, 15 years ago, therapists were losing their license because they were saying to women, you act like you've been molested. Do you see?
Oh.
And the truth of the matter is, Patrick Carnes said that if a little girl before her period, especially when she's not stable chemically, is sexually stimulated, she basically produces dopamine receptors in order to be kept alive by the hunting crew that captured her tribe. In other words, it was everything in science is to help you survive.
Mm-hmm.
So if a tribe dominates a tribe, the boys get killed, but the girls get turned into sex objects. Is that a true statement?
Correct. It is a very true statement, yes.
Now, the problem is the brain doesn't unravel the dopamine receptors. They stay open.
I definitely crave some extreme experiences in life, not necessarily sexual, but I do need something out of normal at least every 2 weeks to just feel okay. Maybe that's related.
So what I'm saying is, when you talked about this man, you were mm-hmm. talking about him as a molester.
How do you mean? The man that was, when I was 7, that made me feel uncomfortable?
No, the one now that dated you.
Oh.
He's the one that was going too fast and wasn't doing it right for you?
No. This man is actually the opposite. He's the one that I just told you it was, he's basically text me every morning, and we talked on the phone for an hour. No, he's he's slower than usual. He never made anything.
Okay, he's slower. So what is it you're asking me? Because I'm getting the cases mixed up.
Oh, okay. No, so what happened is, since I had met him, I had this almost a wave of just this emotional everything, because the chemistry was so good. This was the best first date I've had.
What I'm hearing is that he was courting you emotionally by courting you. He was calling you. He was stimulating.
Yes.
I'm talking to you, not the other lady that was molested when she was young.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I'm the one before her.
Okay.
The man,
you're getting it. The man mm-hmm. that you're dealing with is deflowering you.
But then why do I have these past hurts surface? That's very strange.
Why is it what?
Why do I have these past, all this hurt and anger from one of my previous relationships? So the reason why I came to you in the first place 5 years ago is because I was in this completely self-destructive relationship with a married man. I was in love, or at least I thought. I couldn't leave. It was painful. I got rid of him.
But you were bonded to him. Wait a minute.
Yes, I was.
You were bonded to him physically.
Yes, absolutely.
And that bonding often occurs at the hands of molesters. So the guy that you were dating was married?
Yes.
You could not have him, but he mm-hmm. got to your body.
He did, yeah, unfortunately.
Okay, I'm not going to call that molesting.
I'm going to call
that friends with perks.
I guess so.
And
but
are
I haven't
you
thought
over
about
him?
Him?
Are you
yes,
over
yes.
him?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, that's
and I haven't
because
thought about him.
It takes a couple of years to get over people that you bond to.
Yes, and it did take me. Well, I had you to help me, but it did take me a very long time because it kept going back and forth in my brain. Now it's gone, so that's why I'm really confused. Why, all of a sudden now it's resurfacing.
You're
like all
being
my...
deflowered by this man. Do you want to have a relationship with him?
I do, if we're compatible. Which
what
I
would
will
make you not
out.
Compatible? Is that the religious thing?
Yeah. Yes.
So I've got you in the right box now.
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, I told you when I talked to you the other day, whenever I did,
mm-hmm.
I told you, can you not act like you would join him in his social religious practices?
Yes, I won't mislead him. No.
What?
I will not mislead him. Yes, you told me to basically not mislead him in that.
Yes,
that
please.
I would totally.
In other
yes,
words,
yes, of course.
Is your body's falling in love with him when your brain
yes.
is not religious?
Yes, but but the question, like, basically what disturbs me in the situation is, does his deflowering me, does it just go, is it just so emotional that anything that was extra emotional comes up? Or
honey, it reminds you, that's called PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Uh-huh.
You were in love with your married man.
Correct.
But because he couldn't go or wouldn't go with you, you were traumatized.
Yes. Oh, so this is reminding.
Falling in love with this man because he's courting you into falling in love.
Okay. And the brain is trying to protect me by basically saying, look, it was shit before, it can be shit now. Is that what's going on?
No, your brain is saying you've got to belong to the same religion or it won't work.
Okay.
And by the by, well, if I recall, you're an agnostic. You don't even believe in God.
I just don't know. I'm kind of in the middle. I don't know.
Honey,
I can't be an atheist.
Being in the middle dating a Catholic, all your facts are coming up. Do you want to have a serious relationship with this man that you're falling in love with because he's courting you into deflowering?
I do, but I'm scared because of
love. I don't blame you for being scared. Would you please not have intercourse with him until he can put an engagement ring on your finger?
That was my first thought. When I felt what I felt, the chemistry, I'm like, I'm not even, no, exactly. Like, this needs to be marriage bound. Otherwise, I will be so screwed. It could be worse than the last one.
Honey, do you understand what we're doing?
Yes.
We're finishing what we started the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But this is doing it right. You will not be dating a married man, and you will not marry a man until you're engaged, because you have been molested by yourself in falling in love with a married man.
Yeah.
And now it's coming up in your life, and you're using religion as a reason to make an excuse for not seriously considering being with him non-intercourse. Tell him, look, this is what happened to me at this time, and a therapist advised me not to have intercourse until whoever I'm with is willing to become engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no problem saying that. I will
do that. Well, you know what? That way, you don't have to lie. You don't have to anything.
Yeah, no. And he, when he was interviewing me, he asked me actually questions just straight up. He said, How is someone who is as beautiful as you still not married? Why didn't you get married at some point? And I told him exactly. I said, look,
he spotted your PTSD.
Really? Oh, wow. Interesting. Well,
so
I told him the truth. I said, look,
what?
No, I just told him the truth. And I said, look, I realized that I was living out a really bad conditioning that came from my childhood. Once I realized that, I found a wonderful therapist who helped me with it. And now I don't have that conditioning anymore. I probably do, but, you know.
But you do, because you've got, this man has turned your body, is turning your body on. And all I'm asking is no penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina until you have an engagement ring on your finger. Then you can move in with him.
Yes, ma'am. I agree completely. I agree completely. Yes.
All right. So will you do that?
Yes.
Congratulations. We went through to, we went around in a circle, but the circle made sense.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it does.
And good luck. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. I will keep you guys posted on all this.
Congratulations.
Well, at least, hey, this is such good progress for me, you know, because like I re-listened to my first call to you guys, which was 5 years ago, and I called oblivious. I called oblivious. I sounded like an idiot, and I only realized after reading Dr. Allen's books and listening to the to her shows on what are they, podcasts? Yes, the podcast shows.
Yeah,
I've realized all along I'm a male. My femininity has been attacked by all angles, literally. I'm in love with a married man. There's no future, and I couldn't get out of it. And now, like, it was just my bad conditioning, as I said. But I just want to thank you guys again, because my life, I can literally divide my life into pre-Pat Allen and this show and me calling here and post-Pat Allen. I'm not even exaggerating. In everything.
Everything.
And I went to Dr. Jeffrey White as well when I visited you, Dr.
Very
Allen.
Very good. EMDR yes. Doctor in Los Angeles.
Oh, he's wonderful. Yeah. And
he knows my work inside and out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he was so funny. He said, well, all the clients that Dr. Allen sends here, they're usually way more intelligent than average or something. He said something like that. And I'm so much better in communication. I have fired a few toxic friends that I didn't realize were toxic. And I didn't even actually have to fire them. I just communicated well to them. They didn't like it. And they just disappeared from my life. And I wasn't rude. I just used your tools. And they were shocked. One went into a screaming fit at some point and just vanished. I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. It's like an insect repellent. Good communication is an insect repellent to people that are destructive and toxic. So I'm so forever grateful. With this man, I just,
this man is doing what's natural.
Yeah.
And he's available.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you to let him court you into either saying, yes, I want to be in an engaged relationship, or no, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just such comfort because,
I am comfortable we found a way to talk that made sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just so comforting because now, having gone through your sessions and trainings and classes, I know what to do, I would say, 70% of the time. And 30% of the time, I can call here. So I'm not really neurotic anymore. I know that, okay, if I'm confused, I have this amazing resource. I have done the math. All the times that I've called you guys, I think I've gotten probably around $5,000 worth of therapy for free in the last 5 years. I'm not kidding. So everyone who's listening, don't be shy. Call.
Hey, Seattle. I'm going to talk about something real quick before you go. You should hear it. Dr.
Yes.
Allen is doing some amazing groups. We have larger groups, and then we have a very special 3-person elite groups and
three women
elite groups, which we're offering. And the way to find out about that and to get on the list for those different groups is by reaching out via email to info@drpetallen.com. I will be honest, we do have a wait list. But you never know, because sometimes it will be like the person on the wait list will be like, no, I have to wait till August, or I have to wait till September, or whatever, so you might be able to wiggle in there early, but it's definitely been amazing, and I am lucky enough to engage in these groups with Dr. Allen. So I see firsthand how much work really goes on, and in the elite groups, it's stunning. It's stunning.
Yeah.
So, even that's, are they in person or are they over Zoom or something?
Yeah,
like
that? We do it on Zoom, and it's been so effective.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, the courses, because I went to 3 weekend classes with you, Dr. Allen, and it was stunning
that,
to watch what
just
you do.
3 people each get a half an hour a week for a month.
Oh, that's incredible. Oh, that's incredible. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to get on the list.
We have our 5 lady groups, and those have been ongoing as well. Just amazing. But the elite group, I have to say, is really close to my heart.
And
because
you can also
what a privilege
to all the podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're wonderful, all the podcasts. I literally listen to all of them, I think. There's tons and tons of them, but yeah, they're incredible. With your weekend courses, you know what it looked like? So someone starts talking, and this is what fascinated me the most. Someone starts talking, and within 3 sentences, you know exactly what's wrong. And then it's like you're pulling out this dinosaur out of this person by a hair. You grab a tiny hair, and you pull out a dinosaur.
You know what that's called?
What?
50 years of experience and a brain that loves science.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just such a privilege. I knew I was there, and I realized that I could not believe my luck that I would, one, find out about you somehow, because it was word of mouth, because you don't really advertise. And
I'm
just sat there and
totally
I realized how lucky I am.
That I didn't know it was you when we started. And then we worked our way into you and we finished the session we had a week ago, or when we did it.
Yes.
And this was the finish of that session. That's amazing.
Yeah.
There is a God.
Yeah. 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 Oh, no, it's incredible. This is incredible. And I've had, actually, you know, I had 2 people also that benefited from you. One went to your weekend course as well, and she then ended up eventually leaving her longtime boyfriend because she realized they were just not compatible. And
yes,
you know,
yes.
So, and then another one also called a few times and then left her husband, who was an alcoholic and wasn't getting any help, and now she's remarried happily. So it's just so good all around.
We love that.
Well,
we love
thank
to hear
you
that.
So much for a very interesting experience we just had.
Thank you.
Thank you, Seattle. Always a pleasure to hear that beautiful accent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
And reach out to info@drpatallen.com.
Will do. Absolutely. Will do. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 All right. That was awesome, Dr. Allen. I love that. And Seattle's been with us since the beginning. She's been listening and interacting with us. And her growth has been amazing. She's just a doll.
Yes, it was. It was impressive to me.
It is. It is. I love it. I've got somebody who says they are trying to call right now. I love
well,
it.
Get them on the phone. We've got.
I am. I just told
minutes.
Them. They said no answer. I said try again. Try again. I love it because sometimes they send me a message and they say I have this question and I'm like I want you to call. And so I'm telling them we're waiting for your call. All right. Perfect. All right. Caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. You are in the hot seat. Do you have a question?
I do. I have a question. It's actually a mother-daughter relationship question.
Okay. I have four daughters.
Oh, boy. So you know what I'm talking about. Well, my daughter's a Gemini, right. So I have two. She's a Gemini, so I actually have two. She's an adult, and she has a bit of a anger management problem. She can be very abusive with her language, the things that she says, the things that she does.
She's diagnosed by a reputable psychiatrist.
She has actually been hospitalized twice. She's been on so many medications. It's unbelievable. Nobody can ever actually get.
So she is, you have a disabled daughter.
Yes, basically. They never can give me a concrete diagnosis and none of the medications ever work.
Well, they're changing. DSM-5 is turning into syndrome. In other words, autistic syndrome instead of detailed, we're starting to see that there are personality problems, there are neurobiological problems, instead of just nailing people with the title. So your daughter is disabled. How old is she?
She'll be 24 this June.
So she's not your daughter anymore. She's a relative. Your motherhood legally terminated at 18.
Right.
So
she still lives with me.
Why?
Because she does not have gainful employment. She did go to a trade school for aesthetics.
Okay, good.
She has not.
So
she
what
has
you're
not
saying?
Yet,
she is so disabled. Is she on disability insurance?
Not yet. We've tried
disability?
That. We have tried that, and she has not yet been approved.
Okay. They've turned her down, or they've said
yes.
Not enough symptoms?
Right. They turned her down. They said that they did not feel she qualified.
Okay. Then I'm have you any other children?
I have a son. He committed suicide when he was 22 years old in 2007. Both of my children are adopted.
Oh, both of them are adopted, so there's no genetic connection. How old was your daughter when you adopted her?
I was there at her birth.
Oh, you were there at her birth and you took her home.
Correct.
Okay. Now, do you have the money to put her into a home or an institution?
No.
Okay. So are you willing? Are you married or single?
Single.
Are you willing to live with your daughter as a disabled person?
Well, I'm trying my best to navigate the whole situation, and I'm trying to be very supportive. I encourage her. She does go to therapy off and on.
But it may not be, talk therapy may not do it.
Right.
What city do you live in?
I live in Washington State currently.
Okay. Would you be willing to have her evaluated by TMS?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Now, I want you to consider reading an article in the Science magazine for the month of October 4th, 2019. And the article is on, it's on page TMS.
Okay.
And it's okay. anyway, it's in here and I want to get it. What I'm sharing with you is language in the brain, but the one I'm really interested in is called Unraveling Suicide, which I'm sad to say you've experienced in another human being.
Yes.
This one is August 23rd, 2019. Are you willing?
Okay.
You can, if somebody can help you get to the page, it's 741, and it's about TMS.
Okay, I will definitely.
Yeah, this is what I want to share with you. TMS is an upgraded electroshock treatment form of brain manipulation, but it's not shock. It's transcranial, right lobe, left lobe, electromagnetic stimulation. Are you writing this down?
I'm totally writing everything you're saying.
Okay. I want you to understand that TMS is rewiring your brain. I've had tremendous success with women and men, not as many men, but women, because that's my practice. And it rewires your brain like a computer.
Oh.
And now it's under insurance. It used
to be
like $10,000. It's they do by series 6 treatments to see if they can get your right lobe and your left lobe functioning. That's your feelings and your logic. Do you see that?
Yes, that makes sense.
The problem with your daughter may be that she is neurobiologically disabled, not psychologically.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm sharing with you. Look what it says. Scientists look for new ways to save lives. But the magic of this magazine, which is from a company that's 200 years old, is that it's for nerds like me to teach mothers like you. I have a brain-damaged daughter. One of my daughters, the third one, is brain-damaged from viral pneumonia at 2 weeks.
Oh, goodness.
And I lived with her. She married, had a couple of kids, but she needed treatment. So anyway, what resulted was my youngest daughter took her to Texas with her in order to give me the ability to do what I'm doing right now, because as you know, your daughter takes up time and energy. Is that correct?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely.
Except that my family is accustomed to what I teach. And basically, we are surrounding her with a home that allows her to be brain damaged.
Right, that makes sense.
But she is 60 years old now and quite okay. She's a great athlete and a good eater. She's a beautiful woman, and she has a gorgeous son and a gorgeous daughter that she had. So she's lived her life, but it's been as a disabled person. and I want to share my experience with you and tell you that in your city, look up a TMS center.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, caller, there's several TMS centers in the Olympia area. I don't know if you're close to Olympia, but that's the capital of Washington. So there's several TMS centers there. And with that, I have to say we are out of time. And Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Okay, amazing show. We love you all. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.